Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Back for another great episode. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and by my side is my co-host, Seth Lull. Back to talk about some sleepers, some real late-round sleepers, and some post-draft sleepers. Some players you probably have heard of and heard of some other people talking about, and hopefully a couple others that are a little bit underneath the radar that we want to continue to keep our eye on as preseason kind of trucks along as we're heading into preseason week three, which is the dress rehearsal games for the NFL games. Seth, let's kick it off with a quick question here that's been a hot topic in terms of a fantasy conversation, and that is Adrian Peterson. Darius Geis gets hurt. He's out for the year. Washington goes out, picks up a running back because they're not confident enough in their current stable of running backs. Now Adrian Peterson is at the helm, potentially, working with the first team. What do you make of this signing? Are you interested in drafting him, or are you leaning towards any other running backs on that team, or are you staying away from that situation?
I'm staying away from that situation completely. The only running back in that group that I would consider owning at the right spot is Chris Thompson, just because he has kind of that, you know, that niche corner. He has the market corner when it comes to, you know, being involved in the passing game. Samaje Perine, Rob Kelly, Adrian Peterson, I'm staying away from all of them. Number one, Washington was one of the worst teams, running the ball last season. Bottom five team, or bottom three team, rather, yards per attempt, bottom five team, total rushing yards. And Samaje Perine, like, I'm off him completely. He was somebody that had 22 catches last year, but 15 of them came in the weeks that Chris Thompson was injured. Chris Thompson played 10 games, went down. So the bulk of Samaje Perine's catches came in that time frame. And Adrian Peterson has never been somebody that's been a pass catcher, even when he was in his prime. He's coming off a terrible season. He's clearly, you know, a little washed up, to put it mildly. So Perine, Rob Kelly, Adrian Peterson, I think that they're all going to kind of cannibalize each other's value from a fantasy standpoint, to where I think Chris Thompson, and we're both a little bit lower on Chris Thompson because we think that he was overly efficient last year. We don't think that he can repeat, especially the touchdown numbers. So for a team that can't run the ball in the first place, I'm just staying away from that situation completely. Maybe Chris Thompson if I can get him for the right value, but definitely staying away from Peterson, P. Ryan, and Kelly.
Agreed. I like it. Let's keep this moving along, though, and I won't provide any additional analysis on that other than the fact that I agree, and I don't think we need to be – I think what we saw from Adrian Peterson last year is a good reflection of where he is, regardless of what happens in the preseason, and that offense has its own questions, including the plethora of kind of – running backs that they have, you know, they could potentially rotate in and out. New to the website, Seth, is my fantasy rankings, my expert fantasy rankings. I'm on the Fantasy Pros expert platform that I have to go ahead and submit. I have until September 6th to lock these babies in. And you know how we feel about rankings. We just don't think it is helpful to most people to talk about running back 9 over running back 11. Our running back 15 versus our running back 20. We don't think that provides in draft context on how to draft. That's why we create the draft grid. That's why we create an entire draft series special without talking about rankings. However, I think a good tool is the universal tiers, right? And so hopefully this is set up and established by the time everyone listens to this. You can go to NFLTalkingHeads.com if you care about rankings /tiers. My universal tiers will be there, working with Fantasy Pros now to get the correct tiers to display on our website. So that way you could see who is in each tier along all positions, quarterbacks, tight ends, and running backs. When you're trying to compare players at a certain draft spot, you can kind of see how they compare with other positional players in my tiers. Any additional thoughts, Seth, in terms of us releasing this?
No, I think that's helpful. I'm with you on rankings. We talk about it every year. I think the only time rankings can be helpful as is something that's complementary when you do your draft prep I never look at rankings, especially not in the middle of the draft. In the first two rounds, it might be more applicable. But once you get out of the first two rounds, then you get into more of a situational, you know, round by round, you know, situation where you're not drafting necessarily, by positional need. But that definitely factors in terms of roster construction, who you've already drafted. So I agree. Universal tiers are awesome.
And a great example of this is sometimes when you see an NFL draft and you see all the draft grades, and you might see like a running back have the highest grade coming out of college, just an absolute stud. But they're not going to go one overall. Sometimes they don't even go in the top 5 or 10, because where you can, the replacement level on running backs and the production you get from running backs and different – in the NFL doesn't mean you have to draft them one overall. Same with QB. So someone on a QB ranking might be higher, but because of where their ADP is, their replacement level, etc., doesn't mean you need to draft them there. And if everyone was so tied into rankings, then, or we could just follow someone's rankings to a T, then in theory, Seth, then all we need to do is basically upload our pre-draft rankings and let the computer do it for us.
And a great example, and I'm glad you said that, because I think there's the human element has to kick in too, right? You, like, a good example is in our draft the other night. I picked third overall. I was pretty much locked into Zeke, right? For the, you know, the week prior, I'm like, yep, I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott. Not going to think twice about it. I'm on the clock. I'm reading some things, doing some research, and David Johnson's, you know, stats over the past three seasons, or, you know, the couple seasons prior to when he went down with the injury last year, and I'm like, you know what, I might put Zeke ahead of David Johnson in rankings, but I like David Johnson's upside as a pass catcher. And then you also factor in Zeke's, you know, the losses they've had recently, an injury on the offensive line, how that's kind of up in the air. So, you know, things like that, like you can't take away the whole, you know, the gut feeling, or, you know, when you're on the clock, you know, even though you might have a player one spot ahead of another player, but you know what, I'm going to roll the dice and go for the upside.
Yep, and you know, bringing up our draft from the other night, maybe it'd be smart for us to take a couple quick notes. You know, any kind of feedback we have from the draft to provide any in draft experience or suggestions. One that I have personally was in that draft. This happens sometimes, and we get a lot of comments in our private group message. Is, you know, well, I've gone ahead and I tried to do best player available, but I'm at the point where I need a running back, even though wide receivers are falling. What should I do? And for my team, you know, as crazy as this sounds, but I had one running back in the first 8 rounds. One running back. Now, this is a 2 QB league, so QBs are going early and often. And, you know, one of my picks was a QB in a 2 QB league. But my example here is you have to know your roster settings. So we are able to start, it's a deep league, we're able to start up to 6 wide receivers. So when you have that type of kind of roster construction, you don't have to necessarily worry about getting 2-3 running backs early, even though they are running backs and people going after them, because you still have to start up to 6 other people in your flex, and how we have it set up with wide receivers, I can still start 6 other people. So as long as I can get some production at running back, doesn't mean I have to go overdraft them because they're going early. So I guess my type of wisdom or that I wanted to express is that people shouldn't be going and running in terms of the trends that are happening in the draft. Go with who the best player is on your team. If you have a really shallow roster, that's a little different. You don't want to draft 5 wide receivers if you can only start 2.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty consistent with our approach most years. And I've always been one that likes to stock up on wide receivers. I think one thing that really helped me in our draft the other night is, and I never draft by position, I'm always best player available for the first like 3 or 4 rounds at least. But it did help when, you know, I took David Johnson in the first round, 2 QB leagues, so I got Brady in the second, then Mike Evans in the third. Now, I wasn't trying to do that necessarily, but when all things are equal, the tiebreaker to me goes, okay, what's my positional need? And that just gave me so much flexibility from the third round on, where I already had my number one QB, I had my stud receiver, and I had my stud workhorse running back. So I could go in any direction. I didn't feel pressured, you know, to take a particular position because I had a need at running back or receiver, et cetera. So I think, you know, you want to go best player available, but sometimes you can do both. You can take best player available, but you can also keep in mind, you know, what's going to give you the most flexibility throughout the rest of your draft.
Absolutely. And best player available doesn't mean drafting wide receivers. It could be you draft seven running backs because that's what your draft dictates. As long as you have a deep enough roster where you can start most of them, then we're okay.
Yeah. But before we move on, I just say this is really off topic, but before I forget,
here we go.
I had a Jeffism the other day that I have to mention.
Okay.
So everybody out there that doesn't know, Jeffisms are things that Jeff says. He takes, you know, uses sayings out of context. Like, I know it sounds like I'm beating a drum is the famous saying. Like, instead of saying, you know, I'm beating a dead horse, Jeff said, sounds like I'm beating a drum. Well, I was driving in the car yesterday, and my two kids in back were like whining and fussing and being, you know, kind of annoying, like sometimes little kids can be. And I told them to kind of jokingly, I said, put a pipe in it, not put a sock in it or pipe down, but put a pipe in it. And I immediately said that, and then I just shook my head and I was like, yep, Jeffism's rubbing off on me.
Yep, that's right. Converting you over. That's a good one. My wife actually has a little note on her phone that she keeps a tab running, so whenever we're out having a couple drinks and we need a couple laughs, we'll take out the phone and look at previous Jeffisms.
I guess that's something to be proud of.
I'm not saying I'm proud of it. I'm just saying it's a thing. So let's quickly thank everyone that also has joined the Talking Heads Nation since last time. It's been less than a week, Seth, and happy to see everyone here joining. Again, I hope I'm starting from the right spot from where we last left off on Monday, recording this a little bit early before the release on previous Monday. We'll try and get your name in if you join after this episode. Michael, David, Swerz, Biolek, Ben Love, Hannah Frett, Tobias Wade, Brant Kidwell, David Henschel, Damon Simonson, Brock Harper, Aaron Schmitz, Sean White, Locke Williams, Richard O. Gazarek, Jared Recknitz, Trey Crates, Ben Kincaid, Robert Palmer, Johnny Stomp, Angie Miller. I think that's everyone. So thanks everyone for joining the Talking Heads Nation. We're glad to have you, and everyone who's already there is glad to have you as well. And Seth, before we move on to our sleepers, let's go ahead and thank our episode sponsor, FanDuel. The wait is nearly over, football is almost here, and that means it's fantasy football season, and FanDuel has never been easier and funner to play. Doesn't matter if you're an expert or not an expert, FanDuel has you covered. It's clearly the best place to play. FanDuel has something for everyone. There are many ways to play and win. And you don't believe us? How about this? If you go to FanDuel.com/TalkingHeads, you can go ahead and join the FanDuel Survivor, free $250,000 Survivor contest. It's the biggest free Survivor contest ever. And here's how it works. You pick one team to win each week, and you can't reuse that team again for the rest of the season. Everyone has probably done one of these in their office pools or friends leagues. FanDuel has you covered now. You can enter for free a $250,000 Survivor contest on FanDuel.com/TalkingHeads. This locks in before week one, so get in and don't miss your chance to sign up now.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that I'm looking forward to with FanDuel. I mean, it is that time where there's so much to look forward to for fantasy. FanDuel is clearly one of the things that I look forward to. I just punched my ticket to the NFL Thursday Million. And let me tell you, a couple things I like about this contest is, number one, just one game. You know, you don't have to keep your eye on like 5 or 6 or 10 different games. You can just sit on your couch, lock into one game, and you know you're standing at the end of that game. So you don't have to wait for the whole weekend. You know, like a lot of times you'll see your name on the leaderboard, and then it slowly goes down as the games go on. All you have to do is watch one game, and you know if you're going to win at the end of that game. What is better than that?
And guess what? I just entered it as we just talked. So my team is looking pretty good. Decided to roll with Julio, Ertz, Ryan, Ridley, and Coleman as of right now. So we'll see if I make any tweaks and changes before the game one starts. But I'm excited for that. One game, get a resolution at the end of it. It's exciting. And don't forget about the Survivor contest. Seth, do you know who my week one pick is? I've already locked it in. I'm already ready to go. Do you know who my week one pick is?
Enlighten me.
It is Green Bay. They're playing Chicago at home. You know, we got kind of a new offense, and you know how much I like Chicago, but I figured at home Aaron Rodgers, it can be tough for them to beat. So doesn't matter what any of your skill level is with knowing the NFL. There is apparently something out there that my wife uses for her Survivor leagues that she plays called a Survivor Grid. So even if you're, you know, don't watch a lot of football, sign up for the Survivor contest at fanduel.com/talkingheads. Check out the Survivor Grid to help you out online. Plus, new users actually get a $20 bonus on their first deposit on FanDuel. So come and play at fanduel.com/talkingheads.
And I would say for anyone out there in Survivor Leagues, or if you're going to be participating in the FanDuel Survivor, I would not go with Jeff's Green Bay against Chicago pick. I would go with the Saints at home against Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Tampa Bay could be one of those teams. They've been, in years past, they've been a trendy team, you know, a trendy breakout team. I think they are a trendy, like, disastrous team. This could be a disastrous season for Tampa with the issues Jameis Winston has had off the field, Fitzpatrick for four games. Their defense was terrible last year. Their running game is kind of iffy. So Tampa Bay in New Orleans. New Orleans should win that game.
All right, let's kick off our sleeper, Seth. You've got the list in front of you. Let's get them rolling.
Okay. So, and, you know, and this is another thing. When we did the draft the other night, Jeff, I don't know if you noticed the same thing I did, but after we're talking about ADP sleepers, you know, ADP of 100 or lower, right? People that are going, players that are going after pick 100, just to kind of set a bar. But I noticed so many players. I've never been in drafts in prior seasons where my last two or three picks, there were so many players that I wanted to take flyers on. Like the other night when we did this draft, I didn't have a defense. So instead of taking the best available defense to fill up my roster, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to draft the defense because I want to take a flyer on, you know, somebody like a James Washington or a Devontae Booker. There's just so many players that I thought were, you know, had decent value relative to where they were going. So,
yeah, I totally agree.
But let's jump into it. We got a bunch of players here that we're seeing going after pick 100 that are pretty good value. We'll start with Jordan Wilkins, pick 138.
Jordan Wilkins, the rookie in Indianapolis, the player that I've kind of commented on as early as our rookie episode back in late April, May timeframe. He was kind of someone I kept an eye on. Someone actually traded back into our rookie draft to get my hands on him. The concern a little bit there is that Frank Wright comes from the Doug Peterson kind of tree of maybe a running back by committee. That, along with maybe he's not a workhorse running back, they're going to kind of rotate in depending on skill set, especially with Nyheim Hines being the best pass catcher of the group. But right now, Marlon Mack, you know, still nursing a hamstring injury. These hamstring injuries are always of concern, especially where Marlon Mack is going to relative to Jordan Wilkins. I think he's one of those perfect last two or three round pick players that you get on your team. And as we get closer to the season, we kind of see what the usage is and go from there. Robert Turbin is suspended for the first four games. So if Marlon Mack can't play for whatever reason, or for the hamstring injury in week one, Robert Turbin suspended. So the only other person there is Christine Michael. And we've all gone down that road before. So I think it could take a little bit of time before they necessarily give him more and more of a workload, Jordan Wilkins. But they've already kind of worked him in a little bit with the first team in the preseason. So I already kind of like the, I guess, direction it's going. And compared to Nyheim Hines, which I've mentioned more than once on this podcast, is Nyheim Hines is going to be good on third down and pass catching. But I want the guy who's got the better chance of getting the goal line carries, especially in a Andrew Luck-led offense that doesn't have Chuck Pagano in that, you know, horrendous offense. I expect the Indianapolis Colts offense to take a step forward this year without Chuck Pagano.
And this is the first year with no Frank Gore, right? Frank Gore is at age 32, 33, and 34 at Indianapolis had 960 rushing yards or more each of the three seasons, never missed a game, over 260 carries every single year. So no Frank Gore is a good thing. And at this stage in the draft, the risk of taking somebody like a Jordan Wilkins is already baked into his cost, right? And it's pure upside with Andrew Luck back in the fold this year. So I like it too. It's kind of like the whole receivers with Aaron Rodgers. You know, you just want to have as many shares of as many Green Bay pieces as possible. with Andrew Luck, you could do a lot worse than getting a potential starter at the running back position in that offense. Next player is a player that I'm a little bit more bullish on than you. And you liked him a lot coming out of college. And I remember we were in a dynasty league and you drafted him, I believe, in the rookie draft. Yep. Could be mistaken.
Yep.
But Devontae Parker. And it seems that we talked about this before we started recording the show. And you were saying that you feel like, oh, we already know what Devontae Parker is. He already is what he is. He's only played in the NFL 3 seasons. He's 25 years old. He's 6'3". He still has the physical tools that got people excited when he came out of Louisville. And I just think, like, yeah, he's put up a kind of a lackluster performance to this point. Only one touchdown last year was certainly very disappointing. But no more Jay Cutler. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have a sneaky, somewhat bounce back season. You obviously don't want to own him in fantasy, but I think he'll be good enough to where if Devontae Parker can stay healthy, and that's always the issue with Devontae Parker. He's missed 6 games over the first 3 years in his career, but I think he is one of those breakout type candidates because he's gonna hover around 1,000 yards. If he would have played 3 games last season that he missed, he would have finished with around 1,000 yards. I expect the touchdowns to be up. No Jarvis Landry. I mean, a lot of those, you know, people think a lot of those targets and those catches are going to go to Danny Amendola or one of those other receivers. But I think Devontae Parker at pick 144 is somebody you're going to get. I don't see many receivers in that range that have the upside that Devontae Parker has.
I mean, pick 144 is definitely late, so I'll give you that. But there's a couple reasons why I'm just not on the same page as you. And you know, it's good. I think that we used to definitely argue and be on different sides a lot more in the past than we are now. So it's good to kind of debate some of these players and kind of give both sides to the audience here. With Devontae Parker, he broke his finger and his status is up in the air for week one. So immediately, that's not the type of person I want on my bench heading into week one, because I want to know if I can drop them quickly or hold on to them. And he's like right in the middle. So I have to hold on to someone that I can't get any type of evidence, you know, into week one. What's his snap usage? What is his targets? How does he look? All those things. Is Ryan Tannehill, you know, attached to him in terms of just throwing him the ball? We might not find any of that out in week one. And if he's not ready for week one, is he ready for week two? That's not something that I want to inherit at the end of the draft.
The 12th round. Yeah, well, and in the 12th round, I'm not worried about week one with someone like Devontae Parker. I mean, in that range, he's the only number one receiver that's available. I mean, you look at all the receivers around him, the Michael Gallups, Anthony Miller, Tyler Lockett, Kenny Galladay, you know, Chris Godwin, Josh Doxson, Tywan Taylor, Amendola. These are all players that are not number one receivers. So Devontae Parker has, I think, a sneaky balance of having a solid, if he's healthy, obviously, a solid fantasy floor based on the fact that he's going to be the number one receiver and upside. He's a fourth-year receiver, 25 years old. So I like him. And, you know, he's going to be one of your last bench players, most likely. So if he's injured for a couple weeks, you can always cut him. No harm, no foul. So,
yeah, again, like, I mean, Jordan Wilkins is going in that same range at 138. I'd rather have Jordan Wilkins and see what that situation looks like in the first week or two. And going back to, does he have upside? I don't know how much upside he has. I mean, the guy had 100 targets last year, you know, and caught 60% of his balls. It's not too bad. I mean, the touchdown rate could definitely go up, but I mean, he had 100 targets. So how many more can we really give him this year? 120 ish, maybe. I don't know. I mean, and what does he really need to be super impactful? Does he need 150? He's never going to get that. So it's like with some of these other running backs that sometimes go from one team to another, or you know, Devontae Booker, how many chances, you know, did he get in Denver before we kind of all just realized that he's not very good? I don't know if Devontae Parker's necessarily in that example, but I think I would rather draft someone else that we know a little bit less about. I think Devontae Parker is probably a good, kind of like the Kenny Stills, actually, example. Honestly, like, he could probably come in and catch 5 balls for you, but I don't think his ceiling's honestly that high.
Okay, well, let's get to our next player. Let's get rolling right through here. We got Chris Godwin, who you and I were both pretty bullish on Chris Godwin coming out of college. Everyone remembers the Rose Bowl game against USC where he just went nuts. And he went to, I think long-term we looked at it as a good situation in Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston obviously looked a lot more promising a year ago than he does today. But he's behind Mike Evans, but you have an offense that a lot of people thought was going to continue to get kind of more high-powered. He's right now, I think, fourth in the depth chart, probably behind Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, and Adam Humphries. But I think a lot of people think that as the season begins and starts to progress, he's going to find his way into it, at minimum, the number three receiver in that offense. DeSean Watson's 31. He relies on his speed. He had a down year last year, the worst year in his career. So I like Chris Godwin as somebody that could be the number two receiver. And I drafted Mike Evans in the third round in our draft the other night. I love the idea of kind of comboing or handcuffing Chris Godwin with Mike Evans. So if you own Mike Evans, go and grab Chris Godwin late in the draft, because Chris Godwin is somebody, last two games last season, total 209 receiving yards. So he really finished the year strong, as you expect these rookie wide receivers to do. And even if Mike Evans is healthy, I like Chris Godwin's with some sneaky upside. And if anything ever was to happen to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin is somebody that you want to own. So what are your thoughts on Chris Godwin as a second-year breakout-type receiver? He's going, pick 161. So we're talking about a full, basically two rounds later than Devontae Parker.
Yeah, and this is one of those players that you mentioned earlier about you never really can remember a year of being this excited with some of your late-round picks, and this is one of those examples. Now, Chris Godwin's actually been running with the ones a lot in training camp, at practice, and a little bit on the preseason games as well. So there's actually some rumors that he might start off the year on two wide receiver sets ahead of DeSean Jackson. We'll see how that plays out. But to your point, we liked him a lot coming out of college. It was obviously they just signed DeSean Jackson, so it was a little bit of a depth chart issue there. Adam Humphries is the better slot receiver. And he still managed to get 55 targets and 34 catches last year. So I like to see someone who is productive in their rookie year. It goes a long way to showing that they're going to be a very productive player in the NFL. So I like him a lot. He graded out coming out of college, extremely well against Matt Harmon's player perception, reception perception. So I think this is someone that you want to stash at the end of your bench and just see how week one, week two goes around. He's a perfect example of, I think we'll get a lot of information very quickly. And I know we had to wait for Jameis Winston to come back too, but just him being on the field, like if he starts week one and his snap usage is really good, especially with two wide receiver sets, I mean, that's going to be the type of info I'll be looking at.
Yeah, and again, all these players, any player that you're getting after the 12th round, you're not starting week one anyways. So the first, week one doesn't really matter. I like his potential. When Jameis Winston comes back, even with all Jameis Winston's flaws, he is somebody that's going to be chucking the football all over the place. So
yep.
I like Godwin a lot. We're more bullish on him than a lot of people. But Adam Humphries, at this point in the year, you got to take the depth chart with a grain of salt. And, players are running. So while I also take with a grain of salt, he's running with the ones. We don't really know what's going to happen. But bottom line, DeSean Jackson, Adam Humphries, both of them are not very good at this stage in their careers. Particularly DeSean Jackson. So I'm just buying that Chris Godwin's talent's going to show through. And, by week three or four, I think there's a very good chance, like you said, he could be the number two receiver and be playing, meaningful snaps in what could be a solid offense.
Yeah, and just, last note, we do need to take him running with the ones with a grain of salt, too, to some degree. A lot of people right now, there's a lot of risers. There's a couple names that we looked up and that are actually in the top 100 in terms of ADP that weren't, a couple weeks ago because people were getting a little crazy. So we need to, because Tampa Bay could be putting him with the ones on with the first team in preseason just to see how he works and runs, but because they already know what DeSean Jackson has, so start of week one of the regular season, DeSean Jackson could technically be there on two wide receiver sets, like nothing ever happened. So we don't want to get over enthusiastic with the news and overdraft someone. I do like his spot where he's going right now. I probably draft him a little bit higher than where he's going, but just like all the players we're talking about here, we need to also keep in mind, you know, the obstacles that they still have in order to be a week in, week out fantasy starter.
And the next player, Robert Woods, we don't spend a lot of time talking about him. You know, what superlatives have we not used to describe Robert Woods to this point in the fantasy season? Pick 106, still going. He's someone that really hasn't moved up at all. He's kind of stayed in that 9-round range. Great value, I think. Kelvin Benjamin's going ahead of him. I like Robert Woods a lot. Anything you want to add to that?
No, we've talked about him. We're only adding him to the list because he's just happens to be under the higher than 100 ADP. So, you know, we'll just mention him again. Good name, good bench player, come out of the gate, good snap usage, all those things.
Yep. Sterling Shepard going, you know, pick 117. The Giants offense is one of those Madden type offenses that on paper looks absolutely explosive with Odell Beckham healthy again. They're looking like they're going to reach terms on a new contract ahead of week one, which will be good for him. So you have ODB, Evan Ingram, the second year tight end, who had a lot of success in year one, which is rare for tight ends. Then you have Sterling Shepard, who's and Saquon Barkley, obviously. So a lot of people think Sterling Shepard might be like the fourth option in that offense. But I know you were really high on Sterling Shepard coming out of college. You still like him at pick 117 for pretty sneaky value at that point in the draft.
Yeah, and again, in this case, we need to know why we're drafting certain players. So I wouldn't draft, you know, Robert Woods, Sterling Shepard, Devontae Parker, like all of those people on my team. But we've talked about in the bench strategy, like let's try and get like about half of our bench with these players that we can rely on week one, essentially. And then let's get some other people that we need to kind of wait and figure out. Jordan Wilkins of the world, Chris Godwin, etc. And with Sterling Shepard is, you know, last year he only played in 11 games. He got hurt in the 11th game. And he had more. He had only 6 less receptions, and he had more yards than his previous rookie campaign where he played all 16 games. So, and his catch rate went from 61% to 70%. He is definitely down a little bit in the pecking order in terms of potential targets, but I mean, would it surprise me if Evan Ingram actually takes a little bit of a slide back because everyone was injured around Evan Ingram? I think it's very possible that Giants offense could support 2 wide receivers on week in, week out fantasy status, the same way that, you know, Green Bay and New England's kind of offense has in the past. And Sterling Shepard could be that guy. I'm talking specifically more so at from a PPR perspective as well. So I like him. You know, I don't know if you're willing to, if you kind of feel the same way as I do, but I wouldn't want to have too many of these types of players on my bench because they are, I think, a little bit of a cap on the ceiling.
Yeah, and the way I feel about it is I want to get as many cracks at. Now, some of these players, like I think Devontae Parker has a little bit more upside, Sterling Shepard a higher floor. I just want a lot of cracks at a lot of these different players, you know, and it gives you more flexibility in the early stages of the draft because you don't have to worry about, you know, just filling a particular position because you can get a lot of these running backs, a lot of these receivers late that, you know, have value that we like that might be able to step in. Next player, Geronimo Allison. We don't know a ton about Geronimo Allison. Let's just call it like it is, but he's the number three receiver on the Green Bay Packers, an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. No Jordy Nelson there anymore. You still have Jimmy Graham to compete with for targets, and you still have all the running backs. So I think Geronimo Allison's upside is certainly capped if there's no injuries. And he's got a lot of competition potentially for that third wide receiver spot. But as of right now, he's the number three receiver. We've seen Randall Cobb miss time with injury. Devontae Adams is going to have a big role this season as the number one guy. But if everyone can stay healthy, I think Geronimo Allison's upside is capped. But he's going to pick 148. So, again, somebody, you know, a receiver in a Green Bay offense, you have to at least consider because of the upside if there's injuries. And he could be a guy on a, you know, a bye week filler that could have a big week.
Yeah, I'd like to think that Geronimo Allison has like tremendous upside and could be a wide receiver one just because he's in Green Bay. And I always love, you know, wide receivers in Green Bay, regardless of what their name is, thanks to Aaron Rodgers being able to throw the ball to literally any name, but I mean, he has definitely some really good sneaky upside. He only played in 32% of the offensive snaps last year. But Aaron Rodgers does throw the ball, you know, very consistently around. He distributes the ball very well, very evenly. They do have Jimmy Graham as well. So I definitely see his snap usage going up, his targets increasing a ton this year. He's definitely has a great opportunity to be a week-in, week-out flex player that you're getting pretty late.
Here's the situation I found myself in during our draft, late in the draft. I had, and I could only get one because there was like, I think 10 or there's a lot of picks in between my next pick. So I was like, okay, I'm only going to be able to grab one. I had Chris Godwin and Jaron Allison. I know Chris Godwin's going to pick 161, Allison 148. But if you were on the clock, who would you prefer, Geronimo Allison or Chris Godwin? I think that was an interesting decision I found myself in.
I think I want to go Allison. He's been kind of behind in the depth chart with three receivers ahead of him for a while now. Now Jordy's gone. Randall Cobb's, you know, is a slot receiver, so it's really easy to project Jaron Allison to slide into the outside role. He's 6'3", over 200 pounds, only ran 32% of offensive snaps last year. He played 15 games last year, but he only had 39 targets. So
yeah,
that, to your point, it's a lot of unknown with Allison, but early information says that he should be the guy that is going to get the first crack at it. Now, just because you get the first crack at it doesn't mean you're going to be good and you're going to get the ball a lot, but I'd lean towards Allison in this case because of the offense.
Yeah, I think what it came down to, me, I ended up taking Allison. I would rather have the number three receiver in a Green Bay offense over the number two receiver in a Tampa Bay offense. Simple as that. If they were both number one receivers, I think I would probably go Chris Godwin because I like his talent a little bit more and like his upside. But at that stage in the draft, getting the third receiver for Green Bay, can't go wrong. Pick 163, we have Tywan Taylor. This is somebody that you've been really high on, the Tennessee receiver. So talk a little bit about Tywan Taylor.
Yep, let me go ahead and pull up his stats here. Tywan Taylor, I think he's got an opportunity to there's kind of a consistent trend here, which is potential number two wide receivers in an offense that they didn't have last year. And in this case, a new offense. Mike Mularkey offense is gone. Thank you. He actually produced pretty well for his rookie campaign as well, and Rishard Matthews is injured as of right now. So let me pull up what he did last year real quick. Only 28 targets, 16 catches, not a lot. He's going basically almost undrafted. I took with my second to last pick. I just think that offense could take a huge step forward under LaFleur, and if Marcus Mariota and that offense gets going, then someone has to be kind of the beneficiary. It could be Corey Davis, no doubt, but look at where his ADP is. And he's a little bit of an unknown too. It could be a little bit on with Deion Lewis, no doubt. Delanie Walker is always a consistent person there. He's kind of dealing with another toe issue, and he's a little bit older and slower. Tywan Taylor only ran 24% of offensive snaps last year. I think he's just going to slide into a bigger role with more targets, and from that, we could see a much bigger explosion of production considering where he was at last year.
And I think, Tim, we talked about Tampa Bay being one of those teams that I think is going to, has the potential to be a kind of breakout bad team. Like, not that they were a good team last year, but I think they have the potential to be a disaster. I think Tennessee, if I had to pick a, I don't know how trendy they are, but if I had to pick a breakout team that could make the playoffs, could potentially win that division, even though I wouldn't pick them right now, but I think Tennessee is a sneaky team. There's no reason they should not be significantly better. Marcus Mariota should be significantly better. With the addition of Deion Lewis, their running game, and Derrick Henry should be significantly better. They don't have DeMarco Murray being a drag on the offense, and they have a lot of young talent at the wide receiver position. Their defense has improved. So all around, I like Tennessee. So I can see, you know, taking a couple stabs at some of these Tennessee pieces late in the draft. At pick 163, to this point, out of the players we mentioned, Tywan Taylor is going the latest. So a shot in the dark. If you have deeper rosters, you know, more bench spots, why not take a stab at somebody like a Taywan Taylor?
And the big thing with Taywan Taylor is that I've been relying on is the fact that Rishard Matthews hasn't been there. And it was just announced that Rishard Matthews is actually coming back from a torn meniscus he had surgery on early in the offseason. So this just got updated August 23rd here. Was designated to the active PUP list. Unknown if he's going to start suit up week one. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I'm looking at when I look at Taywan Taylor, because Rishard Matthews, if he's healthy, is going to slide into the number two role almost undoubtedly. But if there's an opening there, who's going to take it? Is it Tajay Sharp? Is it Taywan Taylor? A little bit of an unknown. I guess I'm kind of picking Taywan Taylor right now. And, I think the biggest contributing factor, though, is Rishard Matthews on the field or not. And if he's not, then I like Taywan Taylor a lot more.
And as there was some other players we put down here that are currently, pretty much going undrafted, and they might be players that you would use your last pick on, Mr. Irrelevant pick, or players that, after you do your draft, everyone kind of goes the next day and looks on the waiver wire, looks at the free agents that weren't drafted, and then you make some adjustments. You drop a player, pick somebody up.
I'm calling these post-draft sleepers.
Post-draft sleepers. So, a few names we had down was Jonathan Williams, backup running back for the Saints, Mike Gesicki, tight end for the Miami Dolphins, and then Philip Dorsett. Right now, I think Philip Dorsett is what, the number two receiver? Oh, well, with Edelman out for four games, Philip Dorsett could be the number two receiver for the New England Patriots. Anything that jumps out to you about those three players?
Yeah, so right now, it's really tough to predict who's going to kind of fit the Mark Ingram role in New Orleans. They cut Terrence West, so Jonathan Williams is the guy that you need to keep an eye on. They're going to rotate in other running backs. They've always done this, New Orleans. They're not going to give the entire workload to Kamara. His workload might go up a little bit, but it just, especially if you got kind of like a situation where you have Mark Ingram or you have Aaron Jones and you got to wait a couple games, Jonathan Williams is a post-draft potential waiver pickup. Mike Gesicki, listen, tight ends are a crapshoot after you get outside the top first six or seven. So if you find yourself drafting in the George Kittle, David Njoku, or even later, where you have a bit of an unknown, then Mike Gesicki is a guy you need to keep an eye on. He's a athletic tight end who's going to be much more of a pass catcher. And he's a tight end, so he looks like he's going to be the starting tight end week one, but he's got his own, in terms of pass blocking, he's learning the game. So we don't know what kind of usage he's going to be on the field for, but we need to keep an eye on that. And then Philip Dorsett, we're recording this before most of the preseason week three games, but we did get to catch the New England week three against Carolina, and first snap, spread wide receivers, five, shotgun, out pattern to Philip Dorsett, just sitting there in the zone. Beautiful timing throw to the outside. It looks like Philip Dorsett's playing a lot better than I would ever imagine from Philip Dorsett. I used to give not like him a lot when he came out of college and Indianapolis drafted him early. And, of course, New England traded for him for Jacoby Brissett, the backup quarterback. With no Edelman there, I think just being, again, in a high-volume passing offense with Tom Brady, someone you might want to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think without Edelman, he's someone, if you had to start, he's someone that could get a touch, could find his way in the end zone. I think they play their first game against Houston, right? So Houston, that should be a high-scoring game. It was last season. And then if God forbid anything happens to Chris Hogan or Gronkowski, that he moves up in the pecking order and he becomes a must-have. So it's one of those players where you want to be on the bandwagon a little bit earlier rather than too late, because you don't want to be having to spend a lot of your fab budget to acquire him after he has a good game. You'd rather pick him up for a dollar or draft him with your last pick in the draft, or pick him up in free agency prior to the season and just roll the dice and see what happens.
And that's the thing with a lot of these players is, do you want to be that person that's like, you had him on your team, but then you dropped him for whatever reason, and then he blows up? I would rather hold a lot of these players that's got more upside than be holding on to someone else that, is potentially suspended or whatever have it. Philip Dorsett, though, is going to be getting targets from Tom Brady week one. So anytime that is a definitive statement, he should be on the radar.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, everyone. That's going to wrap up our sleepers episode for some players that are after the ADP pick of 100. We are the NFL Talking Heads. If you like the show, go ahead and leave us a review. Make sure you follow us on all social platforms, NFL Talking Heads. We will be back next week.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.